Blog Talk Radio.
Many of you are familiar with Cloud, KLOUT.com.
forward/ The Divine Prince. And the other is Tar. And Gravatar has a more complicated URL that I haven't committed to memory yet, so I'm not going to cite it live on air. But if you were to go to Gravatar and input Divine Prince, Tar Mecca, surely my Gravatar page will come up for you. Excuse me. I wanted to take this brief time that I have here with you at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time to talk about Lent. And some people want to know, you know, well, what is Lent? And then there are those of you who know what Lent is and want to know, well, what does Lent have to do with voodoo? And the reality is we'll never be able to completely separate out the influence and effect that the slave Atlantic trade had on culture here in the West, particularly as it relates to voodoo. And I've said in previous shows, if you must be divisive, there's one voodoo, but if you must be divisive, there's West African voodoo, just the root, the mother, the father, the ancestral base and foundation, if you will, of all voodoo. And then you have Haitian voodoo based on Haitian culture and history. And then you have New Orleans or Louisiana voodoo. And we must keep talking about it. We must keep reiterating it. I know that I do. I will until it becomes common knowledge, until the truth becomes common knowledge. So we can't, you know, say, well, one is more important than the other, one is higher than the other one. You know, we can't say that, particularly if you understand and know the history. But anywhere that voodoo, Ifa, Lakomi, any of the Pan-African traditions, and we're talking about in ancient time, Fon, Iwe, Akan, anywhere that they made contact with Christianity, to some degree there was some amalgamation that took place, and that is sort of the co-absorption, if you will, of one culture with another, usually for survival, as in our case, and sort of a sense of order, depending on what your interpretation of order is. And then, of course, no African basis here in the West can be absolved from ever having had some contact, some influence, some oppression by Christianity and Catholicism in particular as it relates to voodoo. And then we must consider the Black Code enforced by Louis XIV in 1685. Which affected all of the Francophones, French-speaking Catholic world in terms of what were to be constituted as acceptable religions and religious practices, and particularly by slaves. So a great deal of practice, no matter where you were in the Western world, would have been influenced at that time, would have been forced underground at that time, would have been forced to have made some adaptations to allow for its survival. And New Orleans would not be any different in that. Even in the telling of the story of Marie Laveau, which is just a quick side note, you know, we've talked about them locking down St. Louis Cemetery, number one, at the end of the month here, and you will only be able to get into that cemetery with a tour group. I read a Q post or blog earlier today, which briefly talked about that and the effects that that is going to have, and to what degree the tour guides are even going to mention voodoo and Marie Laveau and be able to speak to the truth of these practices in any in any truthful, authentic, or even firsthand experience. We know that that's already limited, and this change will limit that even more. Now, having said that, and I'm now going to go on air and make this prediction and this proclamation and this announcement. At that time, the interest in authentic voodoo and what voodoo is being practiced here in New Orleans, which those of us who are in the know that New Orleans voodoo is alive and well, and so too is Haitian voodoo in New Orleans, as well as West African voodoo. And there's a mix of those three going on. Now, however small, however limited, is based on, one, your knowledge of who those people are and what community they exist in. And then, two, getting beyond the local politics, if you will, of being a part of any real ceremony. And there are few who are right now in the position to step out, who are willing to step out and provide that on any long-term, ongoing basis, save myself and maybe a handful of others. And my prayer is that we will come together. We'll bring it together. Not in the near future, in the immediate future, because it's necessary, it's warranted. The desire for, the need for, the interest in is only going to increase now. And so the avenues to which that information is being shared, there's an attempt now to affect how that's going to happen, put some limits on it, if you will, and put some limits on who can even be a part of the disbursement of that information. But we know that, as it's always been, pre-Louisiana Purchase, the people are going to practice voodoo here, whatever clenches you attempt to put on it. And it's only going to continue to grow. Self will continue to be a part of that growth. And this show, as well as some other resources that I have available to me, will always be a part of preserving, conserving, sharing, teaching, but also the practice of that information and that culture and that religion. So Lent cannot be overlooked in terms of voodoo worldwide. And it has many New Orleans, when we get down to the details of Lent, what Lent is, Lent literally translates into 40 days. Now, there are many interpretations to that based on what Christian denomination you're in, what Catholic parish or denominational specific you are, but as a rule and as a language and as a word, Lent literally translates into 40 days from the Old English, from the Latin. So however you count it, however it's marked on the calendar, symbolically it's represented of this time period between Ash Wednesday, the day after Mardi Gras, and then Easter Sunday. And Easter Sunday, you know, with all of its symbolism and meaning, the death and resurrection of Christ and all those things go along with it, play deeply into what I'm going to refer to as the mythology of Lent. Because besides 40 days, as you study it, as you look at it, it gets much deeper. You know, some are talking about periods of fasting, almsgiving, sacrifice. Some are talking about giving up. A common reference in New Orleans is I'm going to give up something for Lent. And it's generally considered a vice. You give up a vice for Lent, whether it's for the 40 days or whether it's to be a continued practice is in debate, depending on who you ask. But at the root of what this period is, it's a time of reflection. And it tends to be not the type of joyful reflection, let's say at Thanksgiving. It's a more soulful reflection. At the crust, at the center of it is death. You will often not hear that quite aggressively talked about in some churches and some temples and some Catholic facilities. But it's really about the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, the 40 days that Christ spent in the wilderness, the 40 days that it said that Moses went into the wilderness and went into a fasting period. So generally speaking, it's about 40 days, 40 nights, purification, cleansing, meditation, fasting, regeneration and building, but from a much deeper level, always understanding that, you know, the veil between life and death is thin. And so the presence of death, ancestors, masquerade, is deeply connected to what it happens with Lent. Things are expressed through masquerade, carnival, Mardi Gras, and what is now taking place in Haiti, rah-rah. Rah-rah is very akin to Egun masquerade in West Africa, second lining here in New Orleans, along with masking Indian, masking costume for not only Mardi Gras, but Carnival. Understand Mardi Gras is the last day of a much bigger production that is Carnival, which gives space for the honoring and representation of a diverse of world deities and traditions, whether it's just symbolically in play or for some people even in a more literal sense. So the presence of death, resurrection, masquerading, honoring is very akin to what voodoo connects with and what is masquerade in West Africa. Now, depending on whose site you're on, and a great deal of them are in agreement that their focus on West African masquerade only began as Europeans made their way into Africa with Mardi Gras and their Christian celebration. And then the similarities, the comparisons begin to be made. And a great deal of the documents, even the oldest documents that we have about Egungun, masquerade, Galade, come from that time period in particular. But we know, and particularly those of us who are well studied in West African, not only spirituality, religion, tradition, but in art, because those are inseparable from the West African perspective. You're looking at ancestor worship, so you're also looking at statuary, carving, the suits as they are made for masquerade, and then the ethnic community, ethnic group, ethnic family from which that comes in, and then the story that goes along with that. So it's a very integrated affair at its most basic foundation. It doesn't get any less complicated as you travel the waters here to the west and then try and figure out samba, rumba, rah-rah, second line, Mardi Gras, the carnival, and all of its production. The Western world has commercialized a great deal of it. So many of you, you know, the commercial, you see a flash of cruise ships, you see flashes of warm places, half-dressed beautiful people, costumes, feathered, drinking, party, and you don't get any of the religion, any of the spirit, any of the true meaning behind the culture, why it is culture, how it became culture, and what aspects, what language of culture is it speaking. And Carnival speaks a language that is closely tied to Lent. Whether you're a Christian or not, whether you practice Lent or not, whether you're Catholic or not, but at its most basic foundation, in tradition, in history, in trying to study and learn what this all is, it's about Easter. It's about the Christ story, birth, ministry, death, burial, resurrection, all culminating in Easter. So we're now in a time post Mardi Gras, post Carnival, here in New Orleans, where people are supposed to be in a state of fasting and prayer and meditation and regrouping and rebuilding, if you will. As that relates to voodoo, many of the voodoo community right now, there's certain particularly things that have to do with the public, that have to do with uninitiated people. Many of those things are not happening now. If there is anything going on, it's lave tete, it's cleansing, it's purification, and it's feeding of those spirits that represent purification. Water, Simbi, if you will, one of my more favorite Loa and family of Loa, to give reverence to between now and Easter is Simbi, Simbi Deo, which represents springs, fresh marshes. As a matter of fact, since I've been in this house, now in my fourth year, from somewhere underground, we have a spring that breaks through the street every year. Every year, they have to come back and fix it. And it's a major production. They tear up the street for almost a block. But somehow, it always, every year, it comes back. And we don't have the snow and ice and the hard freeze and all that kind of stuff they have in Chicago or New York. So I don't quite get what's really going on here, other than, you know, we're surrounded by water, and the water is sitting on water. But somehow it manages to spring up right here at my front door every year. So I have a bubbling stream of clear water that we all endure, the birds appreciate, the spirits, you know, laugh and make joke of our culture and our so-called technology, and you know, and they still manage to bring this spring of water up at this time every year. So, and it's pretty deep. It's about a half a foot of water that just sits on the street while there's a constant stream of fresh water coming up through this crack in the middle of the street. Last year, I made a video of it and posted it on YouTube, and 2 days later, 3 days later, the city was out here trying to repair it again for that year. And I want to say the repairs last, I don't know, 90 days at the most. We're so used to it, seeing it is unusual. Not having water sitting there. Anytime an Indian comes to my house, you know, we deal with fabric and feathers, and we always have to think about the water. So it's something I've come accustomed to, you know, it being a part of the ambiance of the city and its block and the voodoo and the spirits and all that kind of stuff. But this is a time, and tomorrow, if I might say quickly, February 25th, is a major Haitian voodoo holiday. It is the ritual feeding of the spring, Mangé Tête de Lune. And that ritual is also done here in New Orleans. You're not in the know. You don't know that. But there are many here that see ritual see the spring on Wednesday, on the 25th of February. It's on a Wednesday this year, tomorrow. And then the next three major voodoo, Haitian voodoo holidays would be in March, local David, St. Joseph, which is celebrated here in New Orleans by the coming out of the masquerade of Mardi Gras Indians at dark, at dusk on St. Joseph night. All day you have your St. Joseph shrines and altars that are set up all over town, and you know, people bring in, give their offerings, and certain voodoo houses do that, certain Indian tribes do that. And then when the sun goes down, the masquerade again begins in earnest. Probably more so than Mardi Gras Day, because there's so much Babylon going on Mardi Gras Day. You're not really getting, you know, the real, you know, Indian culture until St. Joseph night. And I think this year it's on March 19th, 3 days after Loco Davi, the eating of ritual wood. And then on the 20th, Legba Zao, eating and feeding Papa Legba his foods, his offerings, and that go along with that. So, you know, you've got the voodoo calendar in your head, you've got the Christian calendar in your head, you've got the Catholic calendar in your head, and then you've got the federal calendar in your head, you know, what's going to be open, what's not going to be open, you know, and how that affects our lives and the city and the production, if you will, of the culture. And it's just part of life for us. When tourists come, they don't know all that happens. They don't know all that has to go into place to ensure, excuse me, this entertaining, wondrous trip that we want you to have when you come here to City of New Orleans. And as always, I've talked myself out of time, so I'm going to attempt to pick this up again on tomorrow here at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing. I said.